Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to head inside the film room and break down the tape. The FantasyGuru.com weekly matchup podcast is on. Here's John Hansen and Greg Cosell.
Thank you very much, Mr. Announcer Guy. Welcome back to the FantasyGuru.com matchup podcast. It is week number 3, and I'm John Hansen. We're going to get to Greg Cosell in a moment, but just a quick reminder to non-subscribers. People are loving the content at FantasyGuru.com this year. We're feeling it. We're bringing it. A lot of good stuff. Daily fantasy, we're all over it. We've added like 5 different articles. We've got the DFS Guru tool, which is unbelievable. And you can check it all out at FantasyGuru.com. That's it. Let's get right to it now with our man, Greg Cosell. Greg, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Mr. Hansen. How are you today?
I'm doing well. We're recording this a little later in the morning, so that's good for me. Works out with our schedules. Still trying to kind of figure it all out. Kind of a vicious cycle. I know I talk about it a lot, the NFL schedule, in terms of what we do. We do different things, but it's a fine line between kind of looking into what happened the week before and processing all that, and then boom, you got to flip that switch. It's unbelievable, the cycle of covering the NFL these days.
I would agree, but that's what we do, John.
Yeah, that is true. Let's get to the meat and potatoes there. Let's talk about tonight's game here. Week 3 kicks off tonight in New Jersey, the Redskins at the Giants. And we got to start, obviously, with Matt Jones. A lot of people are really excited about him. We pumped him up plenty in the preseason. When you watch Matt Jones and you watch Alfred Morris run, I mean, what are the differences here? And I would imagine they're mixing and they're matching their run schemes, a little zone running still, but they're doing more power, and that's what Matt Jones does.
Yeah, I think Jones has a little more juice than Morris. I think he's a little quicker, John. I think he's got a little more burst to get to the perimeter. I would probably say overall his running talent is a little better than Morris's, and it wouldn't surprise me to see Jones, assuming he doesn't fumble as he did last week, assuming he doesn't do that, to become more of the feature type back in this offense.
Not an unbelievable matchup, Greg. It looks like the Giants are going to get John Beeson back, but certainly the Giant defense, where are they right now? I think Steve Spagnuolo is seemingly doing a pretty good job, but they're not going to have Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie for one on the back end here. What do you think of the matchup here, the Redskins and their newfound commitment to the run and their O-line's performing well, matching up against the Giant front 7?
Well, that's what you have to commit to defensively. There's no question, because ultimately Cousins is a quarterback. He's a compliment. If they can run the ball well, they can get an early lead as they did last week, then Cousins is a managed, controlled player, because the game plan and the play calling can do that. And I think that's absolutely the focus for the Giants D. They'll commit to stopping the run.
And that should open things up, I think, for Jordan Reed, who we are very high on this week. And When you watch the tape, is he getting open a lot, and is he a big part of the offense, and is Kirk Cousins basically looking for him a lot?
Well, I don't know if you can say he's looking for him a lot. I think he's a key piece of the pass game, because they don't have much speed on the perimeter, and Reed, for his position, is an excellent mover with good speed, so you look to create matchups.
I know you think the Giant offense is a little bit better maybe than the perception out there. So talk about Eli Manning. How is he playing on tape? And also our guy Larry Donnell, who did admit to me last year on the radio, the day after he scored 3 touchdowns against his defense, he didn't start himself in fantasy. Might Larry Donnell be a factor again tonight?
This sounds like a discussion from the commercial. Should I ask you, how your cat's doing right now, John? No, I do like the Giants' offense. I think it could become very good. I think Eli is playing well. They have a very efficient system. The ball's coming out. I think with Cruz coming back, they have a lot of good pieces with versatility, including Donnell. They've got big play elements. The concern, of course, is the O-line. That's an issue, and if Flowers is out for any length of time, assuming they move Pugh to left tackle as they did last week, that's something you don't really want to have to do, but they may have to, and they can be overmatched in any given game depending on the opponent.
And the Redskins are giving up very little defensively. So I don't know how much tape you've seen of their defense.
I have.
They're built to stop the run. I mean, first and foremost, they brought in Pot Roast and Paya. They don't really have a great pass rush, Greg, but they're really doing well defensively.
Yeah, and I think you have to be a little careful early on because of who they've played. Certainly the Rams did not present a huge issue offensively. I think the Giants present a whole different situation, but they played well given who they've played against.
What do you think of Shane Vereen in this matchup? I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball, Greg, so I'm thinking Shane Vereen will be quite active, and he looks like a huge key to this offense.
I agree, and they're clearly starting to work him into the offense more as both a runner and a receiver, and there's no reason to expect that you won't see more of that, John.
And final thought here, I am advising people to get Victor Cruz right now in a trade because his value is almost nil. I think some people out there are thinking about dropping him, but I look at this roster. They just cut Preston Parker, as you know. Reuben Randall looks terrible. Larry Donnell is inconsistent. I think Victor Cruz is going to catch, even at 75%, I think he's going to catch 5-6 balls a game over the middle from Eli.
He probably will. But don't fall asleep on Donnell. I know he's still a little inconsistent because he hasn't played a lot at the position in his career. But I think, ideally, he just gets better, and he is a matchup issue.
Let's go to Atlanta at Dallas. And obviously, the loss of Tony Romo is huge. Brandon Whedon, we were talking about it last night. He is a guy who needs some functional space. Doesn't really handle the pressure all that well. I'm not sure, Greg, if he really sees the field all that well and processes information. You can touch on that. But my opinion and your thoughts is, look, it's obviously time to run the ball and commit fully to Joseph Randle, who I think looks pretty good. I don't think Darren McFadden looks very good at all. So your thoughts there?
Well, I agree with you. But the big concern here is now if you really want to run it, is Randall, does he have the body type to be a 25 carry a game guy, even if it's 5, 6, 7 weeks? And that's the question. They may have to get McFadden involved, and I don't think McFadden has looked very good. I think he looks a little stiff. I don't think his feet look particularly quick, but he may have to become a factor in this offense.
Well, they also do have Christian Michael down the road, and he's got a big body, and he's got natural
and
power.
He's a pretty talented runner. He's a pretty talented runner, you know, but for whatever reason, it didn't work out in Seattle, even as the backup. So we'll see, but he's a more talented runner than Darren McFadden.
Yes, no doubt. And this matchup here, Atlanta, I know you've seen them at least week one against the Eagles.
Saw week two as well.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on them committing to the run and pounding the rock here? We don't know about Jason Witten. It looks like he's going to try and go, but he's really banged up. And again, I don't have a ton of confidence in Brandon Whedon, but maybe this is a good matchup for him.
Well, their base defense is cover three. They play that predominantly, and that allows the eighth man in the box, who's William Moore, and it fits him perfectly. He's their Cam Chancellor-type player. So, I think tactically the Falcons match up well. They don't have great personnel in their front seven, but I think tactically they match up well.
And the Dallas D, you got to give Rod Marinelli credit. They don't really have a dominant pass rush. They lost Gregory, and obviously no Greg Hardy just yet, but they are playing pretty well, and they're fast. I talked with Roddy White this week, and that's the first thing that he noticed, on the tape, is that as he prepares for this matchup, that they're very fast. And we talked again about this last night, and I threw it out to you, and you agreed. Fast with discipline is pretty good stuff for Dallas.
And that's, by the way, that's the way they played last year, so they're continuing to do that. The one thing they'll have to defend in this game is the play-action pass. The Falcons have been tremendous with it through two games. And Ryan, they're building on it. Kyle Shanahan is doing a great job with that offense, building on play-action concepts, and that's what they'll have to defend.
But for that to work, don't we need Devonta Freeman to kind of show up here in the running attack? He has not looked very good.
Not necessarily. Because it's a formation thing. It's a deception thing. No one's sitting around saying, gee, they've only run it 8 times for 9 yards, so let's not react. I mean, that's not the way it works. So they don't have to come out and run the ball before they start play action.
Yeah, I know that's been your opinion for many, many years. I guess it's maybe
the tape shows stuff like that. It's just it's an easy right. thing for people to say, but the tape shows that you don't have to run the ball well for play action to be effective.
Yep, yep. And for what it's worth, I think Devonta Freeman will catch a lot of passes in this game with no Tevin Coleman. All right, let's move on here to New Orleans at Carolina, Greg. And oh man, I'm scared to death. I am truly frightened here about this matchup on the road. The Panthers, they don't have a dominant pass rush, but they've got a very good front seven. They're covering well on the back end. And your thoughts here on Drew Brees and the offense, I'm really concerned. If they can't push the ball down the field, that's going to make them so much easier to defend.
Well, the Panthers did not rush the quarterback well last week against Ryan Mallett and the Texans. So I wouldn't say they're a great pass rush team, and they don't blitz a lot. They're a low percentage blitz team. They're a sort of an execution defense that tries to play with great discipline. I think Josh Norman is an emerging corner in this league, John. I don't know how familiar you are with him, but I think he's a really good player who could be ability-wise, a top 10 type player as he progresses. So the main issue it really comes down to the Saints O-line has not played well through 2 weeks. And as we've learned, I think that Drew Brees, is not throwing the ball quite the way he did, a couple of years ago. So that's a question. And his status, by the way, still uncertain as we speak right now.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the real question I have. Is this simply a continuation of last year, what we saw, or did he just get hit on the shoulder last week and now he re-aggravated it and now that's a problem? I mean, I'm hoping it's the latter and he can heal up, because if it's the former, that now we're clearly talking about a guy who's on the downside. I mean, it's no other way to say
right.
it.
And there's no way to know this. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the O-line, Greg, again, I thought this was going to be a top seven offensive line in football. It's only two games, but they're underachieving right now.
I would say I would agree, and they may end up being that, but there's been too much pressure, and that makes it even harder, because as good as Brees is, and he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer, but he still needs some room to throw, and if the pocket closes in, it just particularly if he's having arm issues, then it makes it even worse. So you have a number of issues that make it difficult for him to be efficient like he normally is.
And we like Cam in this game. For whatever reason, Greg, as you know,
you should.
The Saints
you should.
And Rob Ryan. Yeah, could talk about it.
I'll tell you why, because the Saints under Rob Ryan have struggled to defend all these multiple run game concepts of the Panthers that include Cam. And he's had good games running the ball against New Orleans because they struggled with it. And, they mix all these different run game concepts often within the same play. And therefore they're very difficult to defend.
I hope that this also helps Jonathan Stewart out, because he's a little slow off the mark here, dealing with a knee, I guess, a little soreness, but a little disconcerting. Let's talk, Philadelphia at the Jets, and basically what we're saying this week is let's head for the hills and let's kind of sit down all our Eagles in this matchup. And if they do well, hey, that's wonderful, but we're not exactly seeing how difficult is a matchup for this right now, for this struggling Eagle offense. I would imagine it's one of the worst possible.
Well, barring some kind of a flip of the switch where all of a sudden everything goes well, and by the way, we've seen that, so you can't rule it out, but you just look at how the Eagles have played through two games and the defense they're playing against, and you just have to believe it'll be difficult for them to execute at any high level of efficiency. Now, then you have the DeMarco Murray situation. If it's a hamstring, he easily could not go this week. And Ryan Matthews he may be a better skill runner than Murray. And I personally think he is. So that could change the dynamic a little bit. Now they haven't blocked well. So that comes into play as well. Bradford's been very unsettled in the pocket. He hasn't been protected great, but even when he has, he's been a little uneven. Their receivers, they're going to get predominant man coverage, John, as you know. You have a tough time thinking that the receivers are going to win. Now, are they going to look for Matthews on screen? Screen's a really good player, but he's shorter, so they may think that that's an advantage with the taller Matthews.
Could they put Revis? How much does Revis play on the slot?
Every once in a while. They could. You know, now you look at Ertz and you look at Sproles against man, and they seem to be the best matchups. That's what, absolutely, you know, as you just evaluate this game going in, they would seem to be the best matchups against a predominant man concept.
Might Ryan Matthews be a better option right now than DeMarco, because Matthews a little bit more of a perimeter runner and a little bit more of a creator than DeMarco?
Yeah, DeMarco's a track runner, and if the track's not there, then, you know, he struggles a bit. And obviously with Dallas, the track was there way more often than not. It could be. That's a very fair statement about Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, and also Roddy White, who I do a radio show with now, did talk about, because they played in week one, his opinion is Sanchez is probably a better fit here for the offense right now because he's a little bit more of a threat as a runner. His opinion, you can't really do a zone read if the defense has no respect for your ability to run, and Bradford's not really running.
No. And you could make the argument that Chip's offense, despite what he's done in Philly, is really built on the zone read and the quarterback being able to run as a meaningful part of it, and he certainly hasn't been able to do that.
For the Jets, obviously they're really, really thin at receiver, and Chris Ivory's a little bit banged up, but Fitzpatrick's doing what he normally does, being a professional, and this matchup here against the Eagle D, I guess, Greg, to you, is like it's the good least of their worries.
Yeah, I mean, they have some concerns, but I think in this game, they'll do fine. Now, the Jets have been a lot of 3 and 4 wide, over 70% of their snaps. Decker's out, Owusu's out, so do we see Devin Smith? Do we see Curley in this game? Jeremy Curley, yeah, so they can stay with their concepts? I would bet they do that.
Yep, yeah, and Devin Smith's fully participating in practice, and I think Curley is going to get this opportunity. For whatever reason, he's been in the doghouse here with Chan Gailey, but we've always kind of liked Jeremy Curley as a nice little slot receiver. Moving on to the next game here, and it is Tampa at Houston, and any thoughts on Ryan Mallett? And again, they're not going to have Arian Foster, so they're in trouble in that regard. They're kind of groping right now, and we know that they've designed things, I would imagine, to make Foster such a huge element, and they don't have that, so that does hurt them.
Yeah, and Mallett's such a tease, John. I mean, you watch him, and you just always say, boy, he can throw it, but there's just too many plays that you just then shake your head. So, you know, right now, I mean, he's a very uneven player, but he can't play without a run game, and they've not been able to run the ball at all. And obviously the offense was going to be built that way, as you just said.
Yeah, and I think there's a reason Mallett, who's got that unbelievable arm talent, hasn't really done much here in 3 years. I think that there's a reason for that. I don't think you've seen Tampa's D much. Have you seen much of Tampa's D?
I have.
Oh, okay. How are they playing right now? They seem to be a little bit better than I thought.
Well, they were not good week one at all. They were better week two. But overall, it's a D that doesn't have a ton of speed. They've got some speed at linebacker with David and Quan Alexander, but they don't have a ton of speed. They don't truly have a pass rush. I mean, I know they, against the Saints, yes, it looked better, but I wouldn't say they truly have a consistent week-to-week pass rush.
For Tampa, we know they need to run the ball with Doug Martin. I know he continues to look pretty good.
Yeah, he does.
He kind of needs planetary alignment, though, in the fantasy world to come through. I thought Charles Sims looked bad this past weekend. No, he really does. It's like, you know, Winston takes a short one in for a rushing touchdown and, you know, takes it from him, and he's not getting a lot of catches, but you know, he does at least look pretty decent here. How about Winston? I mean, is it kind of a weekly roller coaster ride? I mean, I would imagine he's showing some good traits and some bad traits thus far.
Absolutely. He's played 2 weeks, and I would have expected that. He was a little more settled this week. The game was such, you know, we talk about that with quarterbacks a lot. He didn't have to drop back as much. They got the lead early. They played to the lead, but he can throw. The thing that he always has going for him is he can really throw, and he made some really good throws. He missed a couple. He would have given you more fantasy points, John. He missed on the same drive, so it only would have been one extra touchdown, but on back-to-back plays, he missed wide-open receivers in the red zone, so he would have given someone more fantasy points there. But he played a little more settled this week, and the game allowed him to play that way.
Any final thoughts here on this matchup against Houston and this defense? I'm still trying to kind of figure out what they are defensively, and have given up some production to tight ends and running backs out of the backfield. So maybe the linebackers and coverage are an issue, and the secondary seems to be okay, but this is hardly a shutdown group.
No, you're right. I mean, I think they rely on a lot of pressure up front. Watts getting double teamed. There are times he gets triple teamed. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a tough defense to figure through two games. It's certainly not a shutdown style defense.
San Diego at Minnesota, and we're kind of struggling here in terms of trying to figure out what the Vikings' identity is. And they've got the weapons here, Wallace and Johnson. But you look at them, and it seems like they're going to settle into being all about Peterson. And I'm wondering now if Kyle Rudolph will be their number one receiver for Teddy.
Well, it'll be more like it was last week than it was week one. Let's put it that way. I don't know if he's going to get 29 carries or whatever number he had last week, every single week, John. But I think they would like to play more that way, because I think their defense is a good defense that will get better. It has a lot of speed. So I think their team profile will be that Teddy is essentially a complementary player with Peterson, the driving force, playing to a very good defense. I think that's what their template will be.
And when you look at the Charger D, it's a pretty good secondary. It's not a dominant pass rush, but overall pretty decent front seven. But we see some issues, potentially some deficiencies, perhaps right up the gut there, up the middle against the run, which should mean a lot of Peterson.
Yeah, and that's absolutely the way they'll play until the game, if the game forces them to change, and it may not.
And I know that, look, we didn't give Melvin Gordon a ton of love this preseason. And through two games, he's not really doing all that much. But I got to tell you, we're impressed. He looks like he's about ready to explode. Greg, your thoughts on Melvin Gordon's tape thus far?
Well, all I can tell you is I think through two games, and this is why it's so hard to make definitive evaluations, John, as you know. I mean, people want to make, particularly in preseason. Now, and I said in preseason he didn't look good, and he didn't. And I said why he didn't look good, that he was stopping his feet and he wasn't attacking the point. He's been doing that better because guys learn. You know, he's realized, I'm sure, that in this league, you're not going to hit a lot of home runs. So the runs that are the critical runs are the 5 or 6 yard runs. And you don't get the 5 or 6 yard runs without the 1 and 2 yard runs. So he's now been running with a little more certainty, a little more conviction. I don't think he's a naturally powerful guy. He's not a guy, in my opinion, despite the fact that he looks great. I don't know if he's going to run over people, but he's been hitting it much better. And that's a really important first step.
Plus, of course, the other issue is if they're in pass-oriented mode and playing from behind, it'll be a lot of Danny Woodhead. And Danny Woodhead is certainly going to disrupt Gordon's fantasy value. But, again, he does
without
look good.
Without question.
And he's going to get the
taking
ball.
Woodhead. Yeah, they're not taking Woodhead off the field in those situations, John. He's so critical to their 11 personnel package. He's a terrific receiver, a really good shotgun inside runner, and really understands pass protection. So Woodhead snaps are not going to be taken away by Gordon in 11 personnel.
And when they're in 11 personnel, Stevie Johnson's been a real factor here, Greg. And I think he can get better matchups most weeks now than Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I mentioned to him in the preseason to you when I started watching and saw how effective he was in the slot, and I think that's where he'll do the majority of his work.
And the Charger offense is always pretty solid with Phil Rivers. He's completing 80% of his passes, so I mean, I don't think you have anything, unbelievable to say about them, but any thoughts on the Vikings D and this matchup? I mean, again, I think you look at the Vikings D and week one was weird, but it's a pretty good defense, Greg, with no huge issues. Although I don't think they're all that great against the run under Mike Zimmer. That's one thing, Greg.
Yeah, although I think they have good people, and I think if their D tackles continue to play better, Joseph and Floyd, they'll be better against the run, but they've got good people. You know, the other issue is they're playing in their base. Gerald Hodges at middle linebacker, and he's probably not a pure middle linebacker, so that could factor into what you're saying. But this is overall a really good defense with really good concepts.
Pittsburgh at St. Louis, and a little surprised at how the Rams defense played last week against the Redskins, but you have something of an opinion on the Ram D and at least last week. And why don't you share that?
The Rams D?
Yeah. Basically,
well,
the location.
Last,
the location, you think?
Yeah, I think they're a different defense. And again, this can be true of a lot of teams, so it's not a great point or profound point, but I think they're built for speed, and I think they're built for their home turf. And I think sometimes when they play on the road, that speed does not seem to be there. When I watched the tape of the Redskins' Rams D, I didn't come away saying, boy, that Rams D is fast. And almost all the time when I watch them in St. Louis on turf, I come away and say, boy, that Rams defense is fast. So yeah, they seem to be very dependent on where they're playing.
Right, and Le'Veon Bell back, of course, this week, and obviously everyone is starting him. But thoughts on this matchup against this Ram D? And you've noticed that Greg Williams' defense, they do have some gaffes on the back end at times. And, boy, that's problematic this week with Big Ben just slinging it and feeling it. I know you're really impressed with Big Ben, too.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most fascinating matchups of the week, the Steelers O Rams D, quite honestly, John, because I think the Steelers O, starting with Roethlisberger, is playing really, really well. He's throwing it as well as anyone in the league. They attack down the field. They attack at all areas of the defense. Bell is back, which gives them even more versatility in the pass game. I'm really fascinated by this matchup.
And for the Rams offensively, we'll see about Todd Gurley and his role this week. But do you think they have some success if they can have, you know, a modicum of success running the ball? I look at Kenny Britt as a player who looks pretty decent here right now. And the Steeler defense is a little vulnerable in the back end. But, you know, then again, Nick Foles did not look good last week.
No, and well, the whole offense didn't. Their O-line was not very good at all, and that really shut down their run game. And Foles is ultimately needs the run game to be effective. Look, Gurley is a full participant in practice this week, John. I can't believe they're doing that to then send him again on Sunday. This is, yeah. We're way too early in the season, must win, all that stuff. But, I mean, this is a home game for them. This is the kind of game if they want to, you know, take that next step and be a factor in their division race. I know it's not a division game, but this is the kind of game I'm sure they have to win this game.
Right, right. Do you see the Steelers kicking out an improved pass rush on the year? They do have 7 sacks. I don't know if that's a function of playing against, you know, Colin Kaepernick, who got sacked 5 times last week. But any thoughts on Foles' matchup here against the Steeler D?
Yeah, well, they played against an O-line that played poorly last week for the 49ers. And I think that, to be honest with you, I think the Rams O-line with starting 2 rookies is sort of a work in progress. So, yes, it could be a little bit of an issue.
Jacksonville at New England, Jaguar D is been pretty solid. Talk about what you see here from them. Is it simply a function of they're well coached and they're very disciplined? They don't give up big plays.
Yep. Yeah, and I think this would probably be a good fantasy week for Patriots receivers, because I think the thing about that kind of defense is they'll give up completions and catches. The goal obviously is not to give up big plays, which they do usually pretty well, but they're not they're an execution defense much more than a highly schemed defense. So there will be throws and catches available for the Patriots.
And how about, one second. I lost my computer thing here for a moment. How about Aaron Dobson being a factor last week, Greg? I mean, they do have nothing on the outside. I mean, how important do you think an Aaron Dobson contribution can be for this offense?
Well, I think it changes the dynamic a little bit because he gives them some size and he can run a bit. So how they choose to use him, he's obviously not Randy Moss when Moss was there for those 2 years, but he does give them a little more downfield. Not that they're going to evolve into a downfield passing team, but at least he gives them that dimension and the size, because they don't have real size. I mean, Gronk, obviously, but they don't have size at wide receiver.
And obviously Deion Lewis is fumbling and that's not good, although he hasn't been cut yet, so that's a good sign. But do you
no,
think?
No, but that's an issue. I mean, Belichick won't put up with that for a whole lot longer, John. We all know that.
Sure, but how do you think he looks otherwise? I'm very impressed with Deion Lewis.
Yeah, looks very good. Looks very and you know, but like we said, I mean, the fumbling is a major issue. He's done it 2 weeks in a row now.
But it's clear that role is a huge role here, because they're. Maybe they'll start running it now that they don't play Buffalo, but this is a passing team here, so you need that role. It's critical, I think.
Well, it is a passing team. Brady's been in empty sets with no backs in the backfield far more than any other quarterback in the league. 31 times, or 32 times, I believe it is, in two games, John. That's 16 snaps a game with empty, no backs.
Yeah, and then Deion Lewis is on the field for that, split out.
Yep, that he normally is, yes.
Real quick, back to Yeldon, T.J. Yeldon for the Jaguars.
Oh, love him.
He's not putting up big numbers here, but we're loving the youth, the talent, and the workload. I mean, he's a bigger kid who's got some lateral agility here. And, yeah, talk about what you're seeing from him on the tape.
Well, first of all, he's playing behind not such a good O-line. And last week, the numbers weren't there because he had four rushes or something like that lost meaningful yards. But he's got excellent lateral agility, change of direction, great balance. I think he has the skill set and size to be a sustaining foundation runner. And that's the way they're using him. I mean, excuse me, last week in a close game, he ended up with 25 carries.
Yeah, you see him as a Pro Bowl type player down the road?
Could be. I mean, I think he's got a skill set like that. You know, when you watch him run and you see the lateral moves, you know, and we were talking about it on the matchup set, and I called people in and said, hey, look at these moves, and we were comparing him to Gordon. You know, Gordon can't do those kinds of things. Gordon doesn't have that kind of lateral agility.
I mean, we're not talking like a poor man's Le'Veon Bell here, are we, down the road with Yeldon?
Well, Bell's a different kind of runner. He's a little different kind of runner. And, you know, Yeldon's not a bad receiver, but Bell is a tremendous receiver. Bell lines up at wide receiver and runs routes. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say Yeldon's that guy.
No doubt. I mean, Bell can play wide receiver, I feel like. But real quick on Brady, it's like, I know you've studied Brady his entire career. I mean, how does what you've seen over the last 2 weeks compare to his body of work, career-wise and season-wise, you know, maybe the last couple of years? It just seems like he is more on point than ever this year. He's like focused and razor sharp.
He's decisive and precisely accurate. And when you know what he knows through experience and you are decisive and precisely accurate, it's difficult. I mean, he's playing really well.
Cincinnati at Baltimore, as we get along here in week number 3, still at the 1 o'clock games. And how problematic is this matchup for the Ravens? We know it's in Baltimore, and they'll probably win the damn game because they're 0-2 and it's in Baltimore, we discussed. But I don't see a lot of weaponry here for Flacco, and obviously this Bengal D is not a shutdown group, but first and foremost, they're very talented and deep on the back end, so I don't think it's going to be easy for Flacco to throw it. Your thoughts on the Raven offense here?
Well, it's a little limited right now. That's the issue. It's certainly limited on the perimeter, and they've not run the ball as well as they did last year with Forsett. Right now, that could change. Their O-line has had some struggles, and they expected that to be a strength of the team, so that's also a little bit of a problem. Right now their offense is not exactly where they want it to be, and they're going up against not a great defense, a solid defense. So, you know, you're right. They'll probably win going away, given, you know, the way the NFL is.
Yeah. How critical is Bashard Perriman here? Because, I mean, I don't honestly know exactly what's up with his knee, and it's certainly a little disconcerting. But I'm telling people to pick him up and or trade for him for a penny on the dollar right now because, again, you love the talent. You even used the word Julio Jones when you talked about the skill set and the tools. And look, they've got the best deep ball throw in the NFL, and they don't have anyone who can run to wide receiver.
Yeah, and I guess he's not going to go this week. So he's absolutely – that's why they drafted him 1 and Max Williams 2. They did that for a reason. And right now they don't really have either one as a big factor. They don't have Perriman at all, so their offense is kind of struggling. Now, if you jump to the other side, you know, we've always talked about Andy Dalton and all you can do is go by the tape. But right now through 2 games, and all you can say is what the 2 games have showed, he's playing really well, really efficient, distributing the ball well. I mean, who would have thought through 2 games that the most targeted receiver would be Tyler Eifert and not A.J. Green?
Well, we did have Eifert like at 7 at tight end in our rankings.
Oh, no, for sure. We talked about him, but still to have more targets than Green I think would probably surprise people.
True. And he makes Dalton better, Greg, because he's huge and he plays like a wide receiver and he's a huge factor in the middle of the field. Last year, Dalton was checking it down to Jermaine Gresham, who'd get like 3 yards a catch.
Well, and plus Eifert's a matchup piece. He's caught 2 touchdowns this year, split wide, beating corners. He's a matchup piece.
And Andy Dalton, by the way, put up pretty big numbers in this matchup last year. He threw for 567 yards in 2 games. And you're not loving this Raven D right now on tape. And they lost Terrell Suggs, of course. But what do you think out of Baltimore?
No, I don't. I think they've got some issues right now. I think there's been some discipline issues. They can't rush the quarterback particularly well without Suggs. They're trying to figure out who's going to do that and how they're going to do it. So they're kind of a work in progress. I mean, whether they get better or they sort of have an uneven season, only time will tell. But right now, I didn't think they were particularly good at all against Oakland.
Speaking of Oakland, they're at Cleveland as we move along. And I hate to even bring it up because we liked them quite a bit this year for fantasy. Although when you look at your league leaders in a point per reception league, Mr. Latavius Murray is right now your 8th best back, averaging 16.4 points a game. So he's certainly getting it done with volume here. He's got 36 touches on the season. But you're not loving his tape thus far, so talk about it.
No, I haven't. I haven't really liked him on film, John, to be honest with you. And again, you know me, I just react to the film. Now, he's going to get touches. I mean, you made that point when we spoke last night. He's going to get touches. It's not as if they're going somewhere else because they don't have anywhere else to go. So, but, you know, when I watch him, I see a guy that's has somewhat a limited skill set as a runner. I think he's a straight line downhill runner. I don't think he's real agile laterally. I don't think he has really good change of direction. And I think for a man his size, I'm not sure, and I'll need to see more, but I'm not sure he has a whole lot of natural power. So when I watch him, I don't come away and go, oh yeah, there's some redeeming values here. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I guess you can't have both natural power and the long speed and still be like a 6th round pick is what I believe he was.
Right,
so
right.
That makes some sense. But again, it's in some ways, I've learned my lesson relying on volume, but he's getting it. There's no doubt. So if he holds up,
they don't have anybody else.
Yeah. As I said, all preseason, if he can somehow hold up for all 16 games and stay fresh, relatively, he's going to be a top 10 back. I mean, he is because of volume. And right now he's number 8. So this matchup here against Cleveland, any thoughts on the Brown defense? I think it's a respectable defense. Are they vulnerable anywhere? I know you have some interesting thoughts about Joe Hayden thus far.
Yeah, I don't think he's played great through 2 games. You know, I think he's going to have to play better for them to be the defense they want to be. My favorite player on their defense is the free safety, Gibson. I think he's a really good player. No one talks about him. I think he's been good for 2-3 years. They're starting to expand his role. He's starting to play some man-to-man coverage on tight ends. But you know what you're going to get with Mike Patton. You're going to get a lot of different looks, a lot of different fronts, hybrid coverages, things that are difficult for quarterbacks to decipher.
And it's kind of throwing me off too, because I was fully expecting to endorse second receivers against the Browns, but with Hayden not playing all that well, and now Tremont Williams, Greg, the former Packers, is doing a nice job here at the number 2 corner spot.
Yeah, and good player. You know, what they struggle with, and it may be moot against the Raiders anyway, they struggle with pass rush. But one thing about the Raiders with Carr is it's a lot of quick drops, and the ball comes out. So, you know, a lot of pressure packages get negated when you play against that kind of the offense. That was the case last week. The Ravens couldn't really scheme pressure against Carr because the quick drops and the emphasis on the short passing game. So, you know, that's something that Mike Patton will have to consider when he goes into this game. The ball's going to come out quick.
Yeah, and your thoughts on Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree? I would argue so far so good. I think Crabtree is the perfect X receiver here opposite Cooper, who
so
I think we had. Yeah, I think we had 19. We had him at 19, and right now he's 19. He's getting it done here with 12 grabs for 156 and a touchdown. I really like Cooper.
And I think Crabtree, because Cooper's the obvious here, but I think Crabtree fits this pass game exceptionally well because he has size. He's a really good short to intermediate route runner. He can work between the numbers, between the hashes, and he has strong hands. So I think Crabtree, I don't think what he did last week will be an aberration. You know, I'm not saying he's going to catch 120 balls, but I think he fits this offense really well.
And I would say to those listening who have Latavius Murray in a dynasty league, hold on to him. And then at the end of the season, if he has a really nice year, trade him, because the Raiders are likely going to look for an upgrade at running back. And next year, if they get that, Greg, and Carr continues to develop, and let's say Clive Wofford shows signs, that's a pretty nice foundation there, assuming they get a little bit better of an upgrade at running back here. I mean, the Raiders are looking pretty decent offensively.
And their O-line needs to be better, too. It's a little bit of a slow O-line.
Big time, yeah. Indianapolis at Tennessee, speaking of lines that need to get better, I think they're going to get it together, Greg, but it's hard to feel good about the Colts right now. They're, and you've said this dating back last year, that this is just not a very talented roster.
No, it's not, John. And, you know, at some point, I think the bubble bursts a little bit. And right now, it's causing them some tactical concerns because their pass protection is an issue, particularly since they're a deep drop passing team. So now they're starting to keep tight ends into block. Fleener's been a blocker, which hurts his fantasy numbers, obviously. I don't think – did he catch a ball the other night?
I don't think so. I mean, he had a couple of targets, but let me check.
Yeah, they're keeping the back end to block. And when you do that, you know, two things are happening. Obviously, the obvious one is you're minimizing the number of eligible receivers that release into patterns. And number two, the less obvious, is you're reducing your pass game concepts and options. And that makes it tough in your pass game because your O-line is not very good in pass protection.
Right now, Kobe Flynn has one more target and one more catch and five more yards than Adam Kaplan on the season. So he has not been a factor, has Kobe Flynn. Although I do kind of like him this week against Tennessee. And I'm not going to call the Titan D a get well D here, Greg, but certainly this is an opponent they know well. We'll see about McCourty if he can play. He's been limited thus far in practice, but this should be, we should see some signs of improvement this week. No,
you would think, you know, obviously the Dick LeBeau style of defense is he can pressure if he chooses to. He'll have to feel good about his coverage. Normally when he pressures, he's not necessarily playing man coverage. So I think he'll selectively pressure and try to break down this O-line and go from there. But yeah, there's no reason. Look, in the NFL, what normally happens, John, is teams make weak links have to perform well. And the weak link on this offense is the O-line. So teams will stress the O-line for the Colts.
And they want to limit Frank Gore's snaps. I get it. He's 32, but maybe a little bit more Gore, because he looked good to me on Monday night, Greg, and we pushed him. I'll admit it. I'll back Frank Gore any day, and I'll sleep like a baby playing along Andrew Luck. And he ripped off some 10-yard runs against a damn good defense. I mean, the fumble was odd, to say the least. But I think Frank Gore still looks like Frank Gore. I mean, this is not an Andre Johnson situation. You could talk about Johnson as well.
No, Gore, the Colts have to run the ball, John. They don't have to have, you know, 40 rushes in a game, but they have to run the ball. Now, and Johnson, I think at this point in his career, he's much more of a role player. I think you're going to see that happening. You know, I think it's going to be Hilton and Moncrief as the two. Dorsett still looks like he's got a ways to go, just understanding NFL concepts and routes. So Johnson really, to me, is a role player at this point.
Are you a little surprised that they're using Josh Robinson and the kid Vargo as a little bit more in the passing game? And look, it's two tough matchups. Frank Gore's been out there in pass pro, but you know, it's a little scary that they're kind of putting a lot on these rookies' plates as well. You there, Greg?
I'm there now, John. I lost you for a sec.
Oh, sorry. You know what? Let's move on. You could talk about Marcus Mariota. I know you were pretty impressed with what you saw from him last week, maybe even more so than week number one, and talk about that.
Yeah, well, it's a much tougher defense he played against, and I expected him to have some problems, and he did at times. But I thought he stayed in the pocket. I thought he played with pocket poise and command. He did not start to perceive pressure, which often happens with young quarterbacks when they're getting pressure. And I thought, for the most part, you could make the argument that in his learning period here, that this was ultimately a more important performance, and in, on a certain level, a more impressive performance than the week one performance.
And they only gave Bishop Sankey like 40% of the snaps last week. And
yeah, the storyline here, John, and I have no idea how you deal with it going forward, was McCluster, because he played basically 50% of the snaps and was used as an eye back when they were in base personnel. So what we don't know is if that was game specific or if this is something they're going to do moving forward. So I don't envy you on that one.
Yeah, I try to proceed as if Dexter McCluster doesn't exist. And so far, it's been okay because he's more of a pest in our world. I do think he's a matchup-specific guy. And last year, he was a factor early last year, and then he kind of faded to the background. But for what it's worth, I thought the Colt run defense was outstanding last week.
I thought it was really good. That was arguably the best part of their team in that game.
Yeah, and that third round pick there, Anderson.
Henry looks like Anderson, Stanford.
Looks like a nice player.
Yep.
All right, let's move on. Oh, by the way, and that secondary is banged up here, Greg. So they could be looking at some street free agents out there because Greg Toler and Vonta Davis are real iffy.
They played with some street free agents last week. So if it's the same guys, it'll be the same street free agents.
Yeah, let me see if these guys fully practiced real quick. Davis and Toler were limited. Okay, so we'll have to see how things go Thursday and Friday. Moving on, San Fran at Arizona and the Niners, and they don't want to play football the way they did last week. And I would imagine, Greg, in this game, a divisional opponent, Kaepernick has actually had some success against them. Arizona is not overly talented, but you know they are still very disciplined. A lot of veterans in there rotating in and out. I would imagine they get back to their foundation, which is those three tight end sets and Carlos Hyde.
Well, here's what most fascinates me about this game, John, to be honest with you, is through two games, the 49ers have had 45 plays with three tight ends on the field, and they've run really effectively when they've done that. And one thing you notice watching the Cardinals D is even versus base personnel, when it looks like a straight 3-4 defense, yeah, one of their inside stacked players is a safety, Deion Buchanan, not a linebacker. So if they continue to do that, then I would have to think that they're going to feel, the Niners, that is, that they can line up and run the ball.
And Carlos Hyde practiced in full on Wednesday with that quad contusion. So he is good to go, I would think.
And I think he's looked good, by the way. I think he's looked very good.
Not as good, though, maybe as Carson Palmer. It's amazing. He's 35, coming off an ACL. And I think an underreported story, Greg, is the offensive line. I touted them as a potential top 10 line in the preseason, given the additions of Iupati
Iupati hasn't played, and their O-line's just okay. It's not real good. Palmer takes care of a lot of things. Palmer beat blitzes a lot this week against the Bears. I mean, it's not a real good O-line.
And they're going to get, I guess, Massey back and Iupati at some point. But, you know, they certainly have a lot to work with, more than we're used to up front for the Cardinals.
For sure.
What about this matchup here against the Niners? Their defense up and down through two games. They're flying to the football. But maybe they have some vulnerabilities that you see on the back end?
Who are we talking about?
The Niners secondary and their defense.
Oh, you know, they do it a lot. They're very schematic with Eric Mangini. They try to do a lot of things. Whether he's doing that in his mind to compensate or camouflage for weaknesses, we don't know that. It may just be the way he wants to play. I actually think that Kenneth Acker, who's been starting at one corner, has actually played well. They had some issues last week, not necessarily with what you call busts per se, but just players not getting to their assignments just quite quick enough. So I think this is a defense that has a chance to be pretty good here as the season progresses.
Moving on to Chicago at Seattle. It's not looking great here for the Bear receiving core as of Thursday. I don't know about today. We're recording this right around noon Eastern. Alshon Jeffrey and Eddie Royal did not practice. They're both iffy. Marquise Wilson is limited with a hamstring. So my question is, will Jimmy Clausen throw for 100 yards?
Well, this is a tough matchup on both sides of the ball. I've seen the Bear defense both weeks. I actually think they'll get better as the season progresses, but right now they're a significant work in progress, John. They sat Kyle Fuller down in the fourth quarter last week. He's not played well through two games.
Wow. Well, I think this would be the case at least early on here. And maybe Jimmy Graham this week. You know how it happens in the NFL. Oh, you don't get targets. Everyone's talking about it. Next week, they kind of force feed you the ball. I mean, that's a great matchup for Jimmy Graham and anyone looking to throw the ball against his D.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can develop a pass rush with some of the players they have, particularly in their nickel or dime. But right now, it's like I said, it's a big wait and see in Chicago. Look, Vic Fangio knew this when he took the job. This is a revamping, and that doesn't happen overnight.
Then again, the Seattle O-line and offense is – any thoughts there? Lynch has not been very good the first 2 weeks. I'm sure he's going to get well this week, but – you know, going forward, we still have serious concerns about Seattle's offense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's other than Lynch, okay, and I think he'll come around. I think it's kind of the same that it's always been. They rely an awful lot on Russell Wilson's legs. They have a very uneven week-to-week pass game. They don't put up big numbers in the pass game. Even when Russell Wilson's making good throws, I mean, he's not a guy who throws, you know, he's not a 30 for 38 guy. You know, he's going to put up Phillip Rivers numbers. You know, he's not that guy. They don't play that way. So I think their offense, with the exception of Lynch, has essentially been the same.
Buffalo at Miami. And I was a big backer of Ryan Tannehill this year for fantasy. I love the fact that he's a young ascending player in a fantasy-friendly offense. He also runs. I was told that he had measurably improved his downfield ball placement and throwing. I think we've seen some glimpses of that, yet we haven't seen much yet because they don't really have guys who can run. That's why I think Devonta Parker is critical. But the biggest backlash I got on that call was, well, they're in the AFC East and they've got to play the Bills and the Jets twice, which is true. There's no question. It's a concern. I would argue in your thoughts that this is an offense that I think they can move the ball against anyone. I mean, it's a dink and dunk. You're not going to maybe get big plays against Buffalo or the Jets, but you can matriculate the ball down the field with Tannehill pulling the trigger. Your thoughts there?
And theoretically, you negate a lot of pressure concepts because the ball's out quick. So, yeah, that's a fair statement. Clearly, the big issue so far has been a total inability to run the ball. I think you make an interesting point about Parker. He played about, 15 or 17 snaps last week, I would guess.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, they drafted him with the 14th pick in the first round. So they expect him to give them the outside size and athleticism and contested catchability that they're lacking right now. So he becomes, when you draft a guy there, you're basically saying that's what we need and he has to be the guy to do it. So now we're in a wait-and-see mode. But, you know, obviously Jarvis Landry is becoming one of the best slot receivers in the league.
Yes, and I think that Parker is maybe the difference between Tannehill and this offense being good or very good, maybe even great for fantasy because, again, as you mentioned, the size, the length, the athleticism, the wide catching radius on the outside, you get that going, you have Jordan Cameron running down the seam, imposing his will and being a matchup nightmare. Rishard Matthews is helping out, and then, again, the aforementioned Landry, who we love, that's a really good environment here for fantasy numbers. So to me, it's all Parker. I hate to put all of it on one guy, but that's kind of what I'm seeing. And I think that'll help their running attack perhaps as well because they need some help. Maybe they need to throw to set up the run, Greg?
You know what? I don't think a team that lines up in gun as much as they do and uses those principles, to me, and I know everybody talks about that, like with Chip Kelly, you know, as well, that they want to run. I think those kinds of offenses, when your quarterback's in the gun, are very balanced per se. One doesn't necessarily need to happen for the other. They need to both work well, but you're not starting with one at the exclusion of the other.
Now, all that said, people are going to be worried about Tannehill this week, even though he's home. I think that does help a little against this defense. What have you seen thus far from Tannehill? Is he playing well?
I think he is. I think he's been pretty sharp. I mean, he threw the ball well last week. You know, people can say, well, they only scored 20, but, you know, I thought he threw the ball well.
Yep. Okay. Moving on to Denver at Detroit. We can talk about the philosophy with Gary Kubiak for a while, but you know, I think we all agree that Kubiak isn't really going to change his stripes. That's his
no.
MO.
No, he's not throwing that out the window, John. So if given that, he's still going to start every game with his offense, which is Peyton under center and trying to run the football. That's what they're. That's the starting point for a Gary Kubiak offense. And by the way, he's had great success. You made the point last night. He's built his career that way. He's not giving that up. And look, two games is not enough to say a team can't do one thing or not do another or whatever. But that's where their offense starts.
Yeah, and they're talking about fixing their running game this week, and we'll see about that, but they're just not running the ball well with Peyton under center. So I hate to say it, but maybe we'll see a tale of two halves more often than we're used to, because that's what it was last week. I mean, was that literally the most uneven game you've ever seen Peyton play last week?
I think you're going to see a lot of those kinds of games. I mean, as we've said, you know, the conversation about his arm is pointless now. He doesn't throw it real well or anything like he used to. But he certainly performed better when he went into the shotgun and was able to sort of control the game at the line of scrimmage. You know, they had some matchups they really liked against Kansas City and going after Jamel Fleming at corner in the nickel. So that was effective for them, particularly in critical moments. But when all said and done, I think Peyton is through throwing for 350 and five touchdowns, I think. And they need to, they're going to stay focused on running the ball.
Yeah. And by the way, I think this matchup is pretty decent there, because this is, as you said last week, it's not a very difficult defense to prepare for. They've got some vulnerabilities there at corner. And also, I don't know if DeAndre Levy is playing, Greg. He's not practicing. He also may miss this game. So that hurts their intermediate coverage. Not that they're getting the ball to the tight end much here, but pretty decent matchup here for a solid showing from Peyton, don't you think?
I mean, look, I don't think he's going to be bad, but I, you know, to me, his numbers, and I know that's what you're concerned about, I think he's going to become a little bit of a week-to-week guy in terms of numbers.
Yeah. That's fair. No, it's very fair. I'm kind of thinking that it'll be okay this week, although it is in Detroit in the Dome there, and we'll see. It looks like Matt Stafford is going to play, but again, they're talented on offense here, the Lions, but this is a scary matchup here. How about the O-line in Detroit? It's letting me down here thus far.
Yeah, and, you know, there's been a lot of talk, and you know, I know that they probably wouldn't see it this way in Detroit, or they certainly wouldn't say it publicly. But, you know, Stafford is becoming seemingly, and he's starting to play long enough where he has to get beyond the uneven play. And if he doesn't get beyond the uneven play, then he's almost going to be another one of those guys. And I love his arm talent. How can you not? And he always has throws that are unbelievable, wow throws. But it just seems like the consistency overall is not there on a week-to-week basis.
And you seem to think, maybe, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that he's best off under center, hand the ball off, run the ball, and pick your spots, all that, play action. Can Amir Abdullah be a back who does that for them?
Possibly. I mean, again, I'm not saying he is better off. It's just something I think about with the idea that, you know, he did that in college. You know, he's got that kind of ability, you know, to run sort of the under center play action offense where you define it and you give him the either or reads that come with play action, and you give him those deeper routes that come with play action. So, you know, I think that, again, I'm not saying he can't be effective in the offense he's in, but, you know, I think there's enough of a track record now, John, where you start to think about these things.
Yeah, for sure. And look, all the issues in Ebron is doing well. I mean, I kind of tabbed him as the key to their whole offense. Ironically, he's doing well. And you know, not like Stafford's putting up horrible numbers. He's actually doing okay for fantasy, but we're a little concerned here. And then finally, how about this, Greg? We may get this done in 1 hour. This is pretty good. KC at Green Bay. You do have some interesting thoughts, and I kind of put words into your mouth, and you agree with it when we talked the other day.
I have no interesting thoughts, John, but thank you.
No. I kind of said something, and you agree with it, basically, is that Rodgers lately is, without Jordy Nelson, a little bit more of a sandlot player, right? Less structure without that deep ball threat of Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, with Rodgers, there's nothing bad you're going to say. I mean, the guy's really gifted, really talented. There's all the talk already about he's the best ever. You know, I don't get into those conversations, as you know. But I would say that when you watch their offense, and I study that offense pretty hard, there's a lot of plays, and they're not all on Rodgers, believe me. I mean, you know, sometimes he drops back and no one's open. But there's a lot of plays that are outside of structure. And I think he's comfortable playing that way. And when I say outside of structure, he's not a runner in the sense that, let's say, Russell Wilson's a runner. But I think he's comfortable moving around, navigating, you know, the pocket, you know, maybe getting outside of it a little bit. I think he's in his comfort zone playing that way. And because of his ability to snap off throws with unbelievable velocity and precise ball location, he can play that way. You wouldn't teach someone to play that way, but he can play that way.
Could that potentially hurt these young guys? Because if you're doing improv out back there, I would think that the guys best served for you would be Randall Cobb and James Jones, which kind of makes sense. These guys are getting it done. Might that hurt a little bit of a Davante Adams, who's maybe not yet gained the full trust of Aaron Rodgers?
Or not yet gained a full understanding of sort of how Rodgers kind of moves and where he expects, you know, Rodgers to want him to be. Maybe. It's possible. You know, that's a hard question to answer. I'm sure they work on those kinds of things in practice all the time. I'm sure Rodgers talks to his receivers all the time, because when you're kind of an off-schedule, off-rhythm, jazz beat kind of player, there's a lot, you know, it still can't be totally improvisational. There still has to be some simpatico between the quarterback and his receiver, some understanding of how to find holes in zones or work versus man. There has to be an understanding of that.
Yeah, and we don't know yet about Eddie Lacy. We'll see about him. By the way, DeMarco Murray was out of practice again today, Greg, on Thursday.
I don't think he's going to play. I don't think he's playing this week. If it's a hamstring, John, and there's no reason to believe they're lying, I'm not sure he's playing Sunday.
Right. Back to this one here real quick. Is it possible? I guess anything's possible, but this Chief D, we respect it. I know you like some of their players. Might this Chief D give the Packers a little bit more trouble than maybe some would think? I would say yes. I don't know if the Rodgers goes off.
It'll be interesting, because what you're dealing with, you know, you're at Lambeau, where Rodgers has been unbelievable. I don't know. That's a tough question. Certainly they can rush the quarterback. They're better doing that at home, for sure. They play a good amount of man, but they mix in some zone. They play a lot of dime. Dime is sort of their foundation sub-package, with Abdullah, the safety, being kind of the dime linebacker. So they have speed on the field, you know. They do have a solid defense. So can they play well? Sure they can.
They play dime, so maybe pound the rock with the run, and they kind of wear them down?
Well, I think the Packers try to do that every – I don't look at the Packers as a – throw ball team. Do you, John? They don't just come out and, you know, I mean, I think they try to stay relatively balanced.
Absolutely. Yeah, no question. And that's why we loved, we always love Eddie Lacy. We always have. And by the way, I asked Mike McCarthy at the combine about Lacy's slow start. And last 2 years, he said, well, the play caller has got to give him the damn ball more. And, you know, he got hurt last week, but, you know, Lacy hit a good number of touches there in week one. He got 21 touches in week one and came through here. We'll see about Lacy's ankle. And finally, for KC offensively, you have a very interesting thought here, and it may not happen, but man, it makes a ton of sense. So give us your thought here on KC's offense in this matchup.
What did I say, John? I can't remember. I've got a lot of thoughts. I don't think they're that interesting, but I appreciate it. But which particular one was that, if you want to prompt me?
Well, it was riveting stuff. It was fascinating. I woke up last night a couple of times just thinking about it. It was just so compelling. But your thoughts on Alex Smith this week, given the fact that Dom Capers has had an issue.
That particular thought. Okay. Wow.
Yes.
They're a schemed offense and they're facing a schemed defense. And Dom has struggled over the years. Clearly, the Packers defense has struggled at times with read option principles, you know, option concepts where the quarterback can run. And while that's not necessarily a foundational piece of the Chiefs on a week-to-week basis, Alex Smith can run that offense. He ran it in college years ago for Urban Meyer at Utah. He's got the mobility to do so. I think that will be part of their offense this week.
Yeah, and finally, to close it out, we had an interesting conversation. And it was just, again, Greg, it always makes sense when we talk with you because you're a very sensible person. But, it does make sense when you look at the Chiefs because they've got some really nice playmakers. Obviously, it's been Charles. We love Kelce. And now Macklin. But they're still kind of week to week because they draw up some plays. And if they work, you're like, oh, my God. This offense is potent, they're deadly. But if they don't work, now you're back to leaning on Alex Smith to consistently play well and move the ball. And that's not exactly something we can count on. That would explain, Greg, why they're just kind of up and down offensively.
Yeah, and obviously they're going to give it to Charles. I mean, that's the critical piece here. And they use him a lot in the pass game too, a lot of concepts with him. So, they have pieces. And look, now it's how can we work all that in and see if we can develop a little more explosion in our pass game overall. That's what they're trying to get to now.
Oh, and finally, if they do run some read option, and run a little bit and loosen up the defense, give them something to think about. You think maybe that could help Travis Kelce?
I do, because I think the intermediate area then becomes a little more open because of the stress it places on the defense.
That's going to wrap it up, Greg. Great stuff as always, sir. Week 3 in the books, only 14 more to go. So we thank you for your efforts there and fantastic insight. And we follow you on Twitter at Greg Cosell. Check out the matchup show on ESPN over the weekend that Greg is the executive producer of. Thanks, Greg. For Greg Cosell, I'm John Hansen. Good luck in week number 3. And don't forget to check out all of our other podcasts. Joe Dolan and Bo Wolf doing a great one on Wednesdays, plus the Waiver Wire podcast on Tuesdays. Well, we'll talk to you next week.